minds ready for the word. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this room. We ask that you have your way. Come and take your place. Come and teach your people. Come and do what you said that you would do. You said that if I open my mouth, that you will feel it. So Father, here I am once again, doing the very thing I don't really want to do. But you said that you will feel it, Lord. So Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you. Amen. 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 Well, you are welcome. Thank you guys for coming out to our Sunday service. As always, it is good to see everybody. So please have your seat this morning in the house of God. Amen. 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 Once again, thank you guys for being out with us. And for those online as well, thank you for joining our Sunday morning service. It is good to see you in the house of God. Amen. 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 So turn with me to the book of Psalms 133. Psalms 133. So just the FYI, I've been up since like 1 a.m. this morning. So let's see how this goes. Amen. 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 But we will trust the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to do what he does best. Because around 5:40 this morning, I had a message ready. And then the Holy Spirit just began to shift it all and said, no, preach this over here. Don't preach that. So we are in Psalms chapter 133 this morning. So I'll start here. You know, this past weekend has been very eventful, to say the least. As you guys know, there are wars and rumors of wars that are going around right now. And many voices are speaking, saying, well, this is right, or this is wrong. And, you know, this is how we need to fix all these things. And it's become very evident to me that the voice that we need in this day is the church. See, the church must rise and take her place and do what she's called to do. And we know this, right? That the Bible calls us the church, which is we are the salt of the earth. We are the ones that have truth. We are the ones that have been called to be witnesses of Christ in these last days. In fact, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, Paul says this. He says that you are the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So no matter how crazy this world is, the church has something that the world needs. We have the truth. We have what is not shown on the news. We have what is not spoken about every single day on TV. But the question is, what is the church? What exactly is the church? Because in the USA, we have over 200 different denominations. So that's 200 different definitions of what the church is. Some think is Baptist. Some think is Reform. Some think is Catholic. Some think is this. Some think is that. But the truth is this. Who gets to define what the church is, and what role do we play in this season? What is the church called to do in this season? As things heat up, as nations are going to war, as countries are being set free, what role does the church play? So I'll start here. As a young minister, I've seen the church change since I was a child. And when I was young, being African, right, I grew up in African churches. And the bond or the glue there was culture. But then as I got a little bit older, I started to see that the church was shifting into more community and relationships and worship, right? So the church began to shift, and how we were being unified in church began to change. But here is the truth, that what unifies the church is what the church can offer the world. So if you are unified by culture, that's all we can give to the world. If we are unified by relationships and all these things that we think that the world needs, That's all we can offer to the world. And we see the same thing in the world because everybody in the world is trying to be unified by something, by color, by race, by politics, by sex, by so many different things. So what is the church this morning? Because if you come to church every single Sunday, if you come here on Tuesdays to pray, if you come here on Wednesdays as well, you ought to know why you're here for. Like, nobody just goes to work and just does work and doesn't think, well, why am I here? Like, why do I spend 3 days every week at this place called church? So what is the church? So in the Old Testament, they had what was called the priest system. And please stay with me. I promise I'm going to get to my point very soon. But they had what was called the priest system. And in that system, the priest would go before God for the people, and he would offer up sacrifices. And we know that Jesus, being the ultimate high priest, has offered an eternal sacrifice for us once and for all. So that old system is now done with. But however, as God would often do, Jesus hid the new covenant in the old covenant. So once again, turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalms 133, verse 1. And verse 1 reads, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down the edges of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, live forevermore." So in this scripture, the Holy Spirit is speaking to David, and he paints the picture of what the church is supposed to be. And he says it's like the oil that runs down from the head, goes to the beard, goes to the garments. And this is a picture of what the church is, because as you guys know, the church is called what? The body of Christ. So that oil is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit flows from the head, which is Christ, flows to the beard, which is typically your pastor, and then flows to the garment, which is those like you, like me, that come to church every single Sunday. And what we see here, that the only thing that was called precious is the oil. Not the people, not the pastor, not even the head. Precious is the Holy Spirit. So the church is a place where the Holy Spirit flows. The church is a place where the Holy Spirit can flow from Jesus to you and I. And we see that in this picture that is being painted here, that the oil flows from the head. So Jesus was first anointed with oil. And then as we are baptized into Christ, we are then also baptized into that as well. And that oil flows from the head to the garment. So what is the church? This paints a simple picture of it. But to truly dial in on what the church is, turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts 6, verse 1. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, we see a clear picture of truly what the church is and how the oil, which is the Holy Spirit, is supposed to flow. Because in the world, many people will try to put you in a box. You are white. You're black. You're a man. You're a woman. So join this group because they have what you need. But we see here that the only thing that should unite the church is the Holy Spirit. The only thing that makes me your brother and you my sister is the Holy Spirit. And that's what we see here in the book of Acts chapter 6. And verse 1 reads, Now in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brothers, seek out from you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may put over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So we see here that once again, the church is the body. And in this church, in this body, in Acts, right, this body had a need. Their widows weren't being served. So Peter and the other 12, they came together, and by the wisdom of God, they said, "Hey, let's not stop what we are doing, right? Because we are the beard. We have a face. We are called to be the ministers, to preach. But instead, let's find people that are also filled with that same spirit. Let's find people who have that same spirit and let them be the ones that can actually administer this service." So in verse 5, it says this, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them." So as Pastor said this morning, the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily come by the laying of hands. Stephen was already filled with the Holy Spirit. So Stephen already had what he needed. And this shows that Stephen was already in word and prayer. The only difference is this, that Peter and the 12, their mission was to preach, whereas Stephen's was to serve. But it was the same spirit that was dwelling in Stephen that was dwelling in Peter and the other 12. So it was the same body, but distinct parts. Just like your hand and your foot, same body, but distinct parts. So we see here that the Holy Spirit, when we truly are in a place where the Holy Spirit can flow, everybody has something that they're called to do. Everybody has something that God wants them to do in the church. So that means that if you do come to church, you have something that God is calling you to do. It could be as simple as opening doors. But just doing that and doing that with the right spirit can change somebody's day. So we see here that Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. Stephen was already a man of prayer. Stephen was already a man that knew the voice of God. And it was just a matter of time before he was called into his own ministry. And just because it's not preaching, just because you're not on stage, doesn't mean that God can't use you in the place and space that you've been called. And Peter, who was the one who said, "Hey, let's pray about this and let's pick men who are filled with the Holy Spirit." See, Peter knew that he could not be a superstar. But the sad truth is that in the church that we live in this day and age, many pastors are superstars. They want to be the face, the hand, the foot, the leg, everything. But Peter here is saying, "No, like, I cannot do all these things. So let's find people who have that same spirit and put them in place to do what they have been called to do." And verse 7 says this, "Then the word of God spread And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, this verse to me is crazy because one of the hardest things to do is get a Jewish man to not be Jewish anymore. Like, they have the true, honest word from God. And Stephen, as he took his place in the church, not on stage, but in the church, as he was being used by God to just serve, it says, then the word of God spread. Not when Peter stood on stage and preached. Not when I preached. When you take your place. That's how the word of God spreads. When you do what God has called you to do, that's how the word of God spread. And just like we saw in Psalms 133, this is how the anointing flows from the head to the beard to the garment. And verse 8 says this, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Because like Stephen, there are many people in this world that only you can reach. I can only preach from the stage or talk to those that I know. But there are many people that will only hear what God has to say from someone who looks just like you. Because they see me and, you know, they think whatever it is that they think. But they see you and their guards are down. So just like Stephen, right, it says he was full of faith and power and did great wonders and signs among the people. So when we are united by the Holy Spirit in the church, there is space for everyone to be who they're called to be. You don't have to be like me and I don't have to be like you. You can be just how God has made you. Because get this, and it's interesting because I was thinking about this yesterday. What part of Jesus did the woman who had the issue of blood touch? His garment. She didn't touch him. She touched the garment because the oil flowed from the head to the beard to the garment. So there are people that only you as the garment can touch. People that I cannot heal, but if they see you at work, at anywhere that you are, you can be that light. You can be that person that God has called you to be for them. But of course, as you know, when we are walking in the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is moving, the world does not like that. Because, see, the reason why, and this is not to beat up the church, but the reason why the world can't tolerate the church is because we are not giving them the Holy Spirit. We offer them everything but the Holy Spirit. We try to give them Christian versions of all the things that they like when we are called to be separate and show them what living holy is like. So we see here that in verse 9, it says, then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen. And they were disputing with Stephen, but they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. So Stephen was moving in such a place in the Holy Spirit because he found his place in this place called church. Stephen was moving in the spirit that the world could not resist him. But sadly, of course, in this day and age, sometimes many in the church aren't speaking from a place of the spirit. They're speaking from a place of politics, a place of this group or that group. They're speaking from a place of self-help, a place of motivation. And yes, the Bible does motivate, but the Bible is not a motivational book. So we see here that they could not resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Because look, when we have the real thing, which we do, which is the Holy Spirit, we have something that the world cannot purchase. They don't have it. They can spend a lifetime and they will never have it. So we have the real thing. So why not give them the real thing? And verse 12 says this, and they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon Stephen and seized him and brought him to the council. And they also set up false witness who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. So once again, the world will tolerate the Christian, the church, until we start offering them something that they cannot refute. So I'll say this as a side note. Don't be fooled. See, right now, they keep on trying to shift the players on the board. One day is, oh, let's get rid of this group. Let's fix this thing. Oh, this group is the issue. But if you know what the Bible says, at the end of the day, it's truly Jesus and his followers versus the world. That's exactly where all this is going. So yes, they can shift it around and say, oh, you know, this week we're going to get, you know, rid of this hate group because they don't like this or don't like that. But the end goal is to get rid of the church. Because what does the Bible call the church? The salt of the earth. Put here to preserve what God is doing in the earth. So in chapter 7, not going to read all that, but as Stephen is called to the council, Stephen then begins to preach one of the greatest sermons I've ever heard from someone not named Jesus. And in verse 54, it says this. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, still being full of the Holy Spirit, still being full, not empty, not halfway full, still being full, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. So we see here that in this day and age, there were many things that were going on. And Stephen, just like you and I, he had to find his place in the church. And many people are asking, well, why is the church still relevant in this day and age? What does the church have to offer in this day and age? What does the church have to actually say about all these things that are going on? So turn with me to the book of Acts 1, verse 8. This is not in my notes, but Pastor talked about this morning. And it was interesting because his message is titled The Holy Spirit. So it truly does go hand in hand. Because when we look at the church in this day and age, truly, what is the church? The church is a place where the Holy Spirit can flow. The church is a place where the Holy Spirit should have free reign to do what he's been called to do. So in Acts 1, verse 8, this is after Jesus had been resurrected. He comes back and he's speaking to his followers. And verse 6 says this. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So just like many in this day and age, they were trying to say, Lord, what's going on? What's the times and seasons? Is it time for this to happen? Is it time for that to happen? And we see here that Jesus said this, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of all the earth. So we see here that even in that day, many were saying, God, what's our place? What do we do? Are you gonna restore Israel? What's the plan here? And Jesus just says it plain as day. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about what's going on out there. Your job is to get the Holy Spirit, and your job is to then use that Holy Spirit to be a witness for me in this day and age. So what is the church? The church is a place where the Holy Spirit can flow from the head, which is Christ, all the way down to the garment. And we as the body are being called because we were all made for such a time as this. We have people in our lives that if they died right now, they would go to hell. Friends, family, coworkers, people that we claim to know and love. And our job is to be a simple witness. Be a witness. Let that Holy Spirit that is in you flow out of you. Let him use you to speak to those that only you can speak to. Because this is the promise of the Father, that you shall receive power. Not by striving, not by trying, not by being perfect, but by simply receiving the Holy Spirit. By simply asking for it, receiving it, and walking into it. So what is the church this morning? It's real simple. The church is a group of people that are unified by the Holy Spirit. We are not unified by anything else. Many people will try to say that, yes, we are, you know, yes, we're a black church, a white church. I personally don't like that because the Bible says that, you know, it says that this house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. So white, black, blue, it doesn't matter. We are called to be a church, a church of the living God, who is first a spirit. So by saying we are this church or that church, we are blocking truly the Holy Spirit from moving. Because God is not raising men. God is trying to raise an army. An army. That means that every single person in here has a part to play. People who look like you that will only hear you. People who think like you that will only hear you talk to them. So God wants every single person to know what their role in the church is. And the first part of knowing your role is actually letting the Holy Spirit just flow down and finding out who you are in the Spirit and knowing what the Spirit has for you. Because everybody here has a part to play. Let's be real. Like, if you have been coming to this church for, say, 5 years, you ought to be doing something. I mean, anything. Right? So everybody here has a part to play, and God wants to use everybody. God truly, I mean, from the youngest to the oldest, we all have a part to play in the church. So this morning, I just know that God has laid it on my heart because I truly do think that many people are searching for what is their role. Do we just keep quiet? Do we just watch as the world burns? Do we actually say something? Do we pick sides? Do we say, you know, I stand with this president or I stand with that? The truth is this. We stand with the church. We stand with the Holy Spirit. We stand with each other in the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, as the book of Acts has shown, God will multiply the church. God will bless the church. God will keep the church. God will grow the church. God will do signs and wonders through the church. Amen? Amen. Well, let's just take a moment and go to the Lord and just thank him. Thank him for his word, but most importantly, thank him because he has put us in a church. He has placed us in a place that truly wants to be led by the Spirit. Heavenly Father, we don't want to be led by self. We don't want to be led by anything else that is not from you, Lord. We truly want to be led by the Spirit. We want to know your Spirit as a church. Father, we as a body, we commit ourselves back to you. We want to know you as a body, not just as people, but we want to know you as a group. So, Father, we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you because you have made us for such a time as this. We thank you because we still are relevant, Lord. We thank you because we have been called to be witnesses, and witnesses can only do so by your Spirit. So help us this morning find our place in you, Lord Jesus. Help us not to think that we are here just to be social, just to be friends, just to do what we do every week, Lord. But help us to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and help us to ask you, Lord, is there anything in this church that needs to be done? Is there anything in this church that you have made me for? Is there any way that I can pour out myself and help the body in this church? Father, it is an honor to be a part of your church. It's an honor to serve. It's an honor to be someone that can be counted on. So, Father, we just thank you this morning. And for anybody out there who is trying to find that right church, that right place, Lord, lead them to that place, Lord. Father, it doesn't have to be here, but Lord, lead them to a place that is led by the Spirit. Lead them to a place that truly preaches the word of God. Lord, lead them. Father, once again, we just thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Let's give Pastor Ike one more round of applause as always. That was a powerful word. We have a few announcements for us. If you haven't already given, please remember to give. Your giving goes forth spreading the true gospel. And we do have Ignite Prayer this Friday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. And I know it seems late, but when darkness is at work, sometimes we got to get up and pray. That's why it's like that. We're just praying when the devil's at work, okay? And also, clocks are going forward 1 hour on March 8th. Good to know. So please remember that. We're going to say a word of prayer and we're going to dismiss. Father, we thank you so much for the word that came forth. We thank you for Pastor Ike. I pray that you fill him back up as he's poured out into your people, God. I pray that every heart in here will go forth and be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know, our labor in the Lord will never be in vain, God. Holy Spirit, have your way in every single individual in this place. Let them be salt. Let them be light. Let them be sharp. Let them be quicker, God, and moving and powerful as a word that you have spoken forth into this world. God, I pray that you would just anoint the feet and the minds of every person in here and keep them safe. Bless those who joined us online and just continue to bless their hearts, bless their homes. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this place. May everybody make it home safely. In Jesus' most holy, precious name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.